Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most informational and entertaining auto detailing podcast. Yeah. Hosted by Marshall Hill of Total Auto Solutions and DJ Patterson of Eco Green Mobile Detailing. Grab a pint and enjoy.
Yep. All right, so here's, cool, you got scratches and you got that removal. One of the things that we wanted to test earlier, and really grateful you came out to let Ray go over the process with her and let her test and prove it on her car. So we did the scratch removal. See, that's where we're going to have to, it's so a retraining. We can't say removal though,
but
right? Scratch
repair.
Scratch repair?
Mm-hmm. I always say scratch repair. So it is SSR. Sprayless scratch repair. Yeah.
Okay, so
we can repair your scratch for you.
Well, so but you're specifically saying that sprayless instead of going into a body shop.
Correct.
Right? That's why you're saying it.
And again, we were using the little
pre-veil sprayers.
Yeah, the little airbrushers, which again, you're atomizing. And as a mobile technician, anytime you atomize paint, you're taking in heavy metals into your lung system, because let's be real honest here. As a mobile technician, I personally never used gloves, glasses, or respirators. I sprayed outside. I let the wind do the rest. It's so not a healthy environment. And just because of that and the nature of it, I didn't think spraying options were very good for the technician. Just so happened that OSHA, look at the ice on his glass.
I see the Rockies.
OSHA and the EPA, of course, are cracking down on anyone who sprays outside.
Why?
Because of the VOCs and the heavy metals, and it is a health hazard.
But the other one is spider webs or swirls, right? Those two terms get blended quite a bit.
Holographic cutting of the clear coat.
That's a first.
That's a good.
That was really scientific.
That was very scientific.
Yes.
See, just not a pretty face.
One more time. Say
holographic cutting of the clear coat.
Interesting. So, those are some big deals. And so what we wanted to do was take a section of Ray's car, and we took the kind of the side
there's a pillar. It's called
the B pillar.
Technical term.
C pillar, actually, because the B pillar would be the ones between the windows.
And then you got the C.
But she had a coupe, so
Like a C minus pillar.
Right, there you go.
C minus.
Yeah. C and three quarters.
C, yeah.
C and three quarters.
C.
And we took and we reapplied the product. We did a tape line on that one.
Nope, that was
a
quarter panel.
You attempted a tape line.
Yeah.
You had some problems.
I did.
Technical difficulties.
It was so, I kept joking with Ray the whole time, like, have you seen Marty work this hard ever before? And she's like, no.
But we did that C pillar.
Minus.
To go over if somebody just wants to quickly repair spider web or swirl marks.
Yeah, I was impressed with that.
Right? Because when we're thinking immediately just scratches, but if we want to go, what you said, outside the box.
Yep.
How can we use the product to...
Always question the narrative.
Yeah, how can we then maximize and use it even further? So, if you're going to remove webs and some car wash scratches, you're going to spend a good, couple hours trying to do it with polish, but you're most likely going to need a two-step and go with that. One, at least a two-step. You could maybe find a good one-step, but that's...
Like last night, the job I had, two-step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, if you're going to remove car wash scratches and
cut,
a majority of spider webbing, you're going to two-step it.
There's unicorn times where you can one-step it, but you still kind of question, I probably need a polish.
And how long would that normally take? 5 hours? Six?
One person, 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
Two people, three hours, yeah.
And so what we were able to do is just wipe some onto the paint. Now, you recommended using a shop...
Paper towel.
Shop paper towel.
So this is literally very backwards from any... this is... If you,
Yeah, so this is where it gets even weirder.
It does.
We're saying repair webbing and swirl marks, that then we preach that you would never, ever put anything other than a microfiber towel onto the paint. And we are now rubbing this mysterious paint into clear coat with a shop paper towel.
The soft blue shop paper towel.
Oh.
But so we were able to wipe that on.
Yeah.
Ray was able to wipe it on and then polish it off. Now, she went a little heavy, we think, which is why it took her a little bit longer.
She did good.
On that bottom one, but on that top one, yeah. And I mean, we...
She did good on both. The only thing that took her a little bit of time is simply because she didn't have enough pressure on the buffer, which would have been addressed during a normal training session.
It's not what we teach. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, you were leaning in like you were...
You could hear me actually almost stall the machine. If you could listen, it would like ebb and flow, where her volume, her sound stayed the same.
Yeah. And that was, what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes or so, just on that one section?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to tell somebody they could wipe this product on, do they do it by panel? Do they go through a whole door, a whole half of the car?
So most of my technicians, I teach them to treat the car as an entire single unit, not panel by panel.
Really?
So you would clean all the scratches, the entire
well,
surface.
This part, we're trying to remove webbing, so we're
right.
going to clean the
we're
whole
car.
Clean,
the whole car
the
whole, yeah.
Yep, we're going to strip off all the wax, dirt, and grease. Then we're going to smear all of the paint.
We're going to wash it with Dawn dish soap.
Right, Dawn dish
soap. We're going ass backwards right now,
rip it completely. Then you're going to smear the paint on everything you see around the entire vehicle, and then you're going to go back to your beginning point and start buffing it off.
And when we say buffing, we're going to use a dual action.
Yep, with the SSR polish.
Specific type of pad, though. We got to use a...
It is a Rupes coarse wool pad, and the pile on it is like a quarter of an inch.
But any wool pad would work, though, right?
No. So some of the wool pads are going to cut more aggressively and leave a haze or a cut pattern on the finish.
So it's designed specifically for that pad?
It is designed specifically to work with that pad.
That pad.
Yes.
Best,
yes. Thank you. Yep.
And you tested other pads or no?
We have, and I continue to test other pads because I'm always looking for any adjustment that makes my job easier, quicker, better than everybody else.
Okay. So it could be possible, but it's under their own...
It's ill-advised, Marty.
Ill-advised, right? Under their own liability.
Correct.
To use another
anything
pad.
You do outside of my authorized suggested system, you own your own results. That is not...
Results may vary.
Correct. So that's why I have one machine I specifically recommend. I have one pad I specifically recommend. And anything that I allow a variance on, I'll let you know.
We would probably say the machine could vary.
I think I have a machine
as a
in mind
detailer.
That would, I know would be, based on what I saw, I know what machine would be really good. Absolutely. Freaking-lutely, dude.
Yeah. What did, so
which one is that
Chris
one?
Chris from Flex gave you a tool at Mobile
yes,
Tech Vegas.
Yes, he did.
What did he give you? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
It's in a box.
It's in a box.
It is not the cordless. I do know that.
Okay.
I did, for about 5 minutes, use one of the cordless Flex machines at the show because Chris came over and said, hey, try it with mine. And I'm like, okay. Just in the initial assessment, of course, I was on a horizontal panel, not a vertical one. The forearm strength required to maintain was a little more extreme.
Right. Yeah. But from what I saw...
So that's the 3401, so it's a forced rotation, which is why it took so much.
I think the 3401 would probably remove it quicker, in my opinion, with less fatigue, because you're not having to work as hard.
I don't know, just theory.
And I have not tested your theory, but it's a possibility.
All right, so I think overall it's debatable. Like, machine, maybe you can't.
Yeah, I haven't tested the two against each other to really tell you which one is more preferable.
Somebody doesn't or does have to get the specific exact machine.
Based on your results, you would prefer...
I would prefer that they would stick with the machines I've tested.
Right.
However, with what limited testing I have done with Flex, knowing that my European market is Split. They use a lot of the Flex products there. They have good results. I will trust the results for my technicians and allow my technician to use their own discretion on whether they prefer Rupes or Flex. Sorry, Rupes.
Rupes.
I mean, so let's just go ahead and open it up, because now we're only at two machines and there's a whole world of other machines that have come into the market that compete heavily against the big dogs with their high price points. So you got stuff like MaxShine, you've got Chemical Guys that has their
Torque.
You've got the Griot's Boss, but then you've got people like us who have been private labeled stuff.
And yeah.
I mean, there's now hundreds of polishers on the market when there used to only be two, Flex and Rupes. So I know you mentioned, you know, you specifically want certain pads, you can only use that polish. Is the tool part, like, or
the tool is part
of discretion?
There is a little bit of discretion for the user. However, the tool is significant. So if you're using a subpar tool where you're applying pressure on a machine that's not designed to receive pressure, and then you start bogging down the brushes or the gears and mechanisms of the machine, then it's going to
single dual action polisher on the market. Right? Except for the 3401, which is forced rotation.
But the Rupes.
No.
That Rupes
that you have, we can push on it and it will bog itself.
Okay. So I will say, yes, if you put enough pressure on it and you stop the head, that is actually a defense mechanism of the machine so that it doesn't burn out the gears. So that way it can suck in more air really fast, is my understanding. So if you just give it a little kick, it goes right back into place. But the machine is not designed for that kind of pressure. So it's a safety feature. But here's the key thing for me. We're not just in the U.S. We're in 27 countries. So I need to be able to endorse products that are available in 27 countries, because you've got different electrical outlets. The machines are geared different for the occurrence. So it has to be a product that is standard, has standardized, measurable results worldwide.
Understandable.
Yep.
So if that's the case, I mean, I get it that I might be pushing a little hard on a certain area, but we've got detailers across the country that are using massively different tools.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because right now I'm a detailer, so I'm already thinking all the rebuttals and the questions the guys are thinking right now as we're talking. So is it a matter of you need a DA with a certain pressure? It doesn't matter what the DA it is. It's just you have a certain pressure. You're moving this product off the paint, right?
Right.
So it doesn't matter what DA you're using. It's a machine.
Go ahead.
Do all DAs do the same thing? I mean, there's some DAs that...
So let's just talk about Rupes in particular. I use the Bigfoot 3.
Right?
I use a 15 or a 21. Uh-huh. But I use the Bigfoot Mark 3s now.
And that's good because...
Right.
Right?
However, there is a Bigfoot... It's not a mark, anything. It's the actual plate says ES on it. Looks the exact same. However, that machine does not have enough torque as the Bigfoot Mark III does. So when I've taken those two machines and looked at them and said, oh yeah, this will work, until I actually put it in practicality, no, that doesn't work. So the one that has the ES on the plate versus the Mark III will not do the job.
And then would that be one of that early Bigfoot, like the one...
I don't even recall which one that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think so, which is why, I mean,
one of my
been a little bit of
it.
My inside reason for asking, I mean, why Rupes? Because that's
because
been a
they have
big
the
issue.
Torque
well, no.
So far.
No. I was going to say, just from our experience, once you said now that you do the Mark III, it makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
Because the 1 and the
way
2
back, yeah.
would never, I
yeah.
mean, you...
But they've so
they've
far...
They've had dramatically
yes.
have had to change and upgrade their units for
yes.
a circumstance like that, because that Mark One, like the very first one, Bigfoot One or whatever, oh hell no, I almost threw that machine.
I'm just
so
thinking of watching the process. I've seen it, you know, firsthand. Like, you need heat,
mm-hmm.
and you need to remove product
mm-hmm.
with less fatigue as possible. And I'm thinking 3401 because it's going to create heat for sure, and enough power for sure to remove the product.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's just why, yeah.
Yeah. But if they wanted to use a true free spinning, I'm just going to say I think there's plenty of other polishers on the market.
What about a rotary? Is that, have you ever even...
So, our original design, we used the DeWalt.
That would sound like it would be...
You're going to still give swirls.
Are you though?
We had two machines in our kit.
Still swirl.
We had the DeWalt to do the scratch repair. And then we had the drum buffer. All of a sudden, I have forgotten the name. The Pro... Buff Pro. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Big, huge thing?
Yeah, the
really?
Buff Pro that was the marine design with the drum, because it... Instead of making a circular pattern, it makes a top over bottom, creates a drag.
Yeah.
There is no swirl with a drag.
Right.
So I had two machines in my kits, and now I'm down to one.
So if you're just touching the product, though, you're still going to instill swirls into the paint if you're just removing the excess?
With the yes, absolutely.
With the rotary,
because wool pad. You still have to use a wool pad.
Yeah.
You have to use a natural fiber.
Hmm.
Cannot use a synthetic or a foam.
Cool.
Okay. So, a little bit on the DA, we're going to push you hard on that, you know.
Fair enough.
But has to use your polish.
Yes, you have to use the polish and you have to use the paint.
And they have to use the paint.
And the pad. Those three items make it work.
Okay.
You deviate on any of that, your results may vary.
And what, speaking of those results, what should they expect to tell their customer that if they... have repaired these scratches and or, you know, the webbing, how long should that last for the customer?
As long as all the steps were done correctly, it will be permanent. There is a 4-year guarantee that we offer our customers. I don't necessarily carry my guarantee to my technicians because I don't know if they did their prep work correctly.
You offer your as
I
a business.
I offer my customers
offer
as a business.
Own.
Yeah, correct.
Yep, gotcha.
After 4 years, there is a color fade.
So, as a technician, I can warranty whatever the hell I want to warranty
that.
Yep.
And how many people are going to keep the car 4 years?
So there is a color fade usually that happens at the 4-year mark. Versus the newer paint stays richer than the older paint, and so you may notice some discrepancies in the color fade after about the 4-year mark.
That's easy. I mean, I'm going to coat over it after the 72-hour period anyway. So
right. Fair enough.
And how long should it take a detailer if they've got webbing? Because we just said that to buff
talking,
and polish
we're
it
talking
off.
Full car on a
full car.
Four-door sedan.
All right. So I'm going to discount the learning curve for already having knowledge. When I train someone with SSR and we are talking about webbing and doing an entire car, they should be able to get through that process in an hour. And I say within 6 months, they should be through that process within an hour. Because there is a thing that happens from training to 6 months. Even as a detailer with experience, you're still going to think as you're doing the job with SSR. You're going to think about, did I get enough paint on here? Did I use the right color? Do I need to buff on that a little more? Is my pressure right? Autopilot has not kicked in yet. At the 6-month mark, autopilot completely takes over. You've already done the car before you even think about what color do I need to pick up to touch up the door edge. You have thought about your kid's school. You thought about maybe the argument you've had with your spouse. You're thinking about the clients you have coming in. You're thinking about all the other things instead of actually what you're doing. Does that make sense? So when you go on autopilot, all of a sudden it becomes very quick.
Can we say 2 hours? I mean... An hour seems really...
I'm still sitting here trying to ask the question on about the...
An hour to go around a whole car?
With the SSR for spider webbing? Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe an hour and a half if you're going to answer the phone and be slow.
Okay.
Does that make you feel better?
So let's just say 2 hours, right? We're still from 4 to 6 hours, but let's call it 5.
And we're getting 80% correction?
At least, yeah.
We don't have to, I mean,
at the minimum.
And then, so, rough cost, so it's just rough, right? Not.
This is what I liked.
Right? So, we're reducing their amount of time. It's going to be, quote unquote, not really, since they're not your technician, but roughly guaranteed around 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say 4 years, so the detailer should guarantee for 4 years, right? So, roughly, it's going to last 4 years. They can get it done in a couple hours. So it's going to be a pretty hefty price for them to get all this product, and it's going to cost them probably a couple hundred bucks to do this on a car, right?
Wrong.
What?
What?
Right. I mean, that's a lot. That's a whole bunch of stuff to do, and it's.
Are we counting labor costs?
Let's not talk labor costs at all.
This is just product
cost.
This
stuff is pretty unbelievable, so it's going to cost a lot.
Wrong. Per car.
Well, you make it cost a lot because you said $3, and I'm telling you it's $2.50.
Damn, dude. You guys did go. I mean, you're
we
like.
We did because I always like to fluff, like you said.
You do fluff.
I'm fluffing at $2.50.
And she can't say.
Per unit.
$3.
To do a whole car.
A whole car.
Whole car in about $2.50 or three.
Right.
Because detailers might rub it on a little heavy.
We're going to. It'll be three or four.
You know what detailers do? You know what detailers do?
Hey, whoa, listen.
You may have changed over the years. I'm just telling you. When you turn on the buffer and the polish, you spit polish everywhere.
Listen.
I'm not saying.
I'm IDA certified.
Okay.
There is no way in hell I'm splattering and wasting product with my cheap ass all over the place.
Good. That's nice to know. And then the other thing that cracks me up is the detailer that needs to massage the car.
Listen,
so they put the polish on the head, and then they rub the car
I'm not massaging any head, okay? Like, it's just not
And I'm
thing.
Like, do you expect her to reply and go, oh, baby, that's the spot? I don't get it. And you know, there's some detailer listening to this cracking up because he puts the polish in
his
head
right now.
And massages the car.
He's doing it right now.
Right. Cracks me up. So that may run up your cost.
Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most informational and entertaining auto detailing podcast, hosted by Marshall Hill of Total Auto Solutions and DJ Patterson of Eco Green Mobile Detailing. Grab a pint and enjoy.